ready to continue our studies in the church, what the Bible has to say about the church. We've already noticed that the church is composed of all true believers from the day of Pentecost on until the Lord comes back again. We've noticed that the church, the word itself, means a called out company. It is not an organization. It certainly is not a building. It is made up of those who were genuinely saved. All of the Christians in any given locality compose the church there. Now, how does the church begin? We know how the church as a whole began, the universal church, the church which is his body. It began on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. But how does one begin a local congregation of believers on a scriptural basis? Suppose that there were a number of us living in a certain town, and we wanted to meet together in a scriptural way. What would we do? Would we write into the headquarters of some organization and have them send an organizer? Or would we get together and use our own judgment and follow Robert's rule of order and set up a church of our own? What would we do? How would we know how to do it scripturally? Well, first of all, church order is given for us in the New Testament. Don't look for church order in the Old Testament, because the church was not in existence until the day of Pentecost. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church. It was not yet built at that time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, that is, God's farm, that's one figure of the church. Ye are God's building. Now we're told in the 7th of Acts that God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. There was a time when he lived in the tabernacle among his people here on earth. There was a time when he lived in the temple. But the Lord Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. And now God does not dwell in buildings, in temples made with hands. But we are told that we are living stones in this temple. Peter writes, ye also are living stones, built up a spiritual house. In Ephesians chapter 1, and again in the end of chapter 2, he tells us that we are a holy temple unto the Lord. And this temple is composed of living stones, that is, of people, of believers. So the Apostle Paul said, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. That is, he laid the foundation at Corinth. He was the first one who went to Corinth, a main seaport city in Greece. He was the first one who went there and carried the gospel to them, and he began the church there. Now, what did he do? Well, first of all, he laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now let's understand this. There is only one foundation. If you want to see a scriptural church, a local company of believers, a local assembly of believers meeting together, you've got to begin with the foundation. It isn't enough to find people who have kindred thoughts. It isn't enough to find people who have the same religious background. We must find people who are genuinely born again. And if they're not saved, it's our responsibility to preach the gospel to them and to see that they come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. For Christians only compose the church, locally as well as universally. So then, those who are really God's children are to meet together. How are they to meet together? Well, he says they are builded together. Who does this building? The Holy Spirit does it, but he does it through men. He used the Apostle Paul as the master builder to lay the foundation, and now he said there are others who are building. But he said, make sure that you build according to the pattern. Be careful how you build. He says you can build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, or you can build wood, hay, and stubble. And your work is going to be tried by fire. God is going to try the work that we build. If it has been built according to tradition, or according to all sorts of things that we have accumulated down through the years, sectarianism, expediency, if it's built with an eye to our pride of accomplishment, if it's built according to the convenience of our own locality, this is not God's order. We are responsible to find out how things were done in the beginning and to do the same now. I'm not speaking particularly of methods. I'm speaking now of church order. Now he tells us in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians that there are several different types of material to be used. Actually, two classes of material. Some of it is quite showy. Some of it is even worthless. But it won't stand the test of fire. Some of it is approved material. Gold and silver and precious stones. These are not manufactured. These are found and refined and polished. In building a local church, we want to build it according to the New Testament doctrines. How did they do in the beginning? Well, it says all that believed were together. Then if an unsaved person wants to join our church, what shall we tell him? Well, the only scriptural thing we can tell him is that it is impossible to join God's church, and that we would like to see him saved. We want to help him to know Christ as his Savior, and when he does accept Christ, he is a member of this body, of the body of Christ. If he comes to us as a believer, it's our responsibility, providing his life is clean and his doctrine is right, to receive him as a brother or as a sister, as the case may be, and make those Christians welcome among us. This is following the New Testament pattern. Now, not only are we asked to gather God's children together, but we're asked to do the things that the Lord has set before us as his plan and his pattern. What did the early Christians do? Well, we're told they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So, if we decide that we're going to meet together, shall we vote on what kind of meetings we shall have, or shall we follow the pattern of the New Testament? When we come together to form a local company of Christians, what prominence shall we give to the ordinances? Does it make any difference about baptism, or shall we just follow the simple New Testament teaching about baptism and baptize all believers by immersion? Does the Lord's Supper really count? Shall we just follow the custom of the church in which we have been formerly associated and have it once a month or once a quarter or once a year? Or shall we follow the New Testament pattern and have it on the first day of the week? It's just that simple. God has his way. The Apostle Paul steadfastly followed this pattern and left this pattern on record by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, so that we could know how it ought to be done. As we meet together as a company of Christians, shall we decide to hire a pastor? And where shall we find him? Or shall we do what 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 tells us? Recognize the local gifts and see here is a man whom God has gifted to be a shepherd, and then recognize him as a shepherd. Not as one to be hired, but as one to be given the opportunity to serve because he loves the Lord. Shall we do this, or shall we follow the traditions that we have accumulated down through the centuries in our departure from the simple New Testament pattern? My dear friends, if you will study the Acts of the Apostles and then the epistles, and especially the epistles of Paul, you will find that there is not an organization on earth today that is following this simple pattern. And it's our responsibility to get back to the book. It's our responsibility to do it God's way. Don't say that it won't work. Of course it'll work. There's no such thing as the lost Corinthian order. It's the Corinthian order laid down for us in the book, and the 20th century doesn't present any problems that the scriptures of the first century can't solve. I would urge you, if you're thinking of gathering a company of Christians together locally, to first of all study the Word of God and seek to carry it out in the pattern that the Lord has set before us. Now, he says one of these days our work is going to be tried. If it burns up, we're going to suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yes, but his work is lost. You and I have a responsibility to build then according to the pattern. God has given us his word. We need nothing more. The Lord bless you and help you to go on for him. And if you're not saved, let me tell you again, you need to begin by believing the simple gospel story. The Lord Jesus took your place and died for you. You can be his by accepting him and trusting him. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. Bless those who are saved and lead them on and save the lost. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.